Well, I have a question for you this morning. How many of you feel rested? I mean, truly rested. If that's you, raise your hand. Nobody? One of you? For the one or two that do, I envy you. That's not a feeling I experience on a regular basis, partly because of my busy schedule and mostly because of what I cram into my schedule. And Sunday is biblically considered to be a day of rest, though for many of us, many people, that's no longer true. And if you're of my age or thereabouts, you may remember when Sunday was not a work day. The stores were closed, families worshiped, played together, rested together. It was a day of rest and a day of acknowledging. It was God's day, the Lord's day. And sadly, our culture has lost that. Not only are most of the stores open for business, but even the kids' sports are conducted on Sundays now, many of them. And not only has Sunday increased the workload for many, but for those fortunate to have a job, the majority find themselves working longer hours. Many studies, several studies I looked at, show that Americans work more than anybody in the industrialized world. Americans take less vacations, work longer days, and retire later than almost all the rest of the world. One study claims that when you total the hours Americans are working, they are actually working 1 month more per year than they did in 1970. We just keep adding work in our lives. No wonder Sunday is no longer considered a day of rest. This is a holiday weekend, a Memorial Day, and we often pack a lot extra into enjoying the weekend, which sometimes just means more work. And clearly, it's important, I think, to keep a biblical perspective about work. We see work mentioned in the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. You might have noticed that work in these verses are mentioned three times, and then God rested. So I wonder, is he still resting, or is he working? There's an expression, you know, you just created more work for yourself, or he created more work for himself. And when God created the world, he created more work for himself. You folks and me, we keep him pretty busy sometimes, I think. The New Testament confirms this. We look at Philippians 1, verse 2 and following. Paul writes, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Seems to me God is still at work. Amen? Notice the scripture says his work on your behalf is a good work. And the original language means just that, a good work. And I want you to know something else as well. We'll see it here again in Philippians 1. "Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus," until Christ returns. One commentary says this here, "The idea here is being confident that there will be nothing lacking on God's part in performing the work he starts in you until the work of grace has been formed in you. Nothing lacking until he's perfected in your life." Nothing lacking means that God is not giving up on you. He will spare nothing in his power until he complete everything in you that he desires. And if you're like me, do you ever feel maybe you're falling short a little bit in your Christianity? I mean, I think we all feel that at times, and maybe we feel times we're doing better than other times, but when we take a hard look at our lives sometimes, we say, are we really living totally for God? The Amplified of Philippians 1:6 puts it this way, "And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." When God starts something, he completes it. Psalms 138:8 reminds us, and first we'll look at the King James, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Living Bible says, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your loving kindness, Lord, continues forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me." David wrote this psalm, and he wrote it at a time where he was troubled, he was struggling, and in his pain and perhaps even his fear, he looks to times past, and he's reassured. He looks to the heart of God and who God is, and he's reassured that God is not going to give up on him. God's going to complete him. Barnes writes this, "The psalm is adapted to inspire confidence and hope in all who are called to pass through scenes of trial." And David writes that you, Lord, will perfect that which concerned me. Those things about me that you're, I mean, the concern is just the way they word it, but God's not really concerned. But the things he sees in your life that he wants to change that aren't lining up with his word, God will perfect that. And the word perfect literally means to bring to completion. Those things that God is working on your life, he will work on them until he brings them to perfection. One commentator wrote this, "He will complete what he has begun. He will not interpose in my behalf and then abandon me. He will not promise to save me and then fail to fulfill his promise. He will not encourage me and then cast me off. He will complete what he begins. He will not convert a soul and leave it to perish. Grace will complete what grace begins." I love that expression. Grace will complete what grace begins. And it's personal. This scripture here is just, it's just you and the Lord. He will perfect, bring completion what concerns you. I mean, do you hear the personal in there? It's he cares about you individually. This is God, if you will, pulling you aside from all his children and knowing deeply what is going on in your life and in your walk with him. This is God getting involved with you one-on-one personally. He knows you, he cares about you, and he's not giving up on you. So how many of you, if you saw a friend or a mate that was working hard on something, was struggling somewhere, would stop to help them if you could? How many would do that? Yeah, all of us would. If God is working hard in you to complete that good thing within you, maybe, perhaps, you should stop to help him once in a while. Maybe you should get a little involved like you would just a friend. And if you're thinking that God's given up on you or someone you know, you're wrong. You may all know somebody that just seems like they've given up on God and God's given up on them. You're wrong. God will work and work and work as hard as he can on an individual. Philippians 1:6 in the NIV says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending, confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." Paul writes, "I am confident that God's not going to give up on you. He began a good work in you. He'll complete it." And he said, "I can feel this way. I'm confident about it because you share," Paul says, "in the same grace that I share." And he knew about God's grace. He understood it. And he said, "We all share in God's grace." Grace, what a glorious word. Years ago, I think I did a series on grace, and perhaps by God's leading, I should again at some point. But it's an incredible thing to really grasp God's grace in your life. And we've often heard it explained as unmerited favor, something God does in our life that we don't deserve, and God's blessing and favor, even though we deserve it. And it's that's a good definition, if you will, but It's so much more than that. It's so much deeper than that. And the closer you draw to God, the more you realize His magnificent grace in your life and the awe of His presence and His promise in your life so many times in spite of you and in spite of me. In fact, if maybe that's the best way to put it, God's involvement in my life in spite of me is because of His grace. He doesn't give up. And all everybody knows that Christ Jesus shares in His wonderful grace. And it's His grace that assures He will continue His work in you. It's His work, His grace, and the good news is, it's Him working in your life. You're not doing everything alone. It's Him being involved in your life. It's not just up to you. It goes quicker and is more complete when you cooperate and get involved, wouldn't it? Makes sense, right? And if God is establishing a good work in you, what exactly is this work of His in your life? I mean, you might get a little personal and say he perfects that which concerns me personally. I see that, but what is His work exactly? And the following verses in Philippians actually begin to define it. Philippians 1:9. Paul writes, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Look how the Amplified Version puts it, says it this way. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge, in all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment." Early on, Paul writes, "I pray for you all the time. I'm praying for you." Now he's beginning to tell you what he's praying for, led by the Holy Spirit, that your love may grow and extend to its fullest development while you're growing in discernment of God and insight to Him. If you grow in the love of God, if you grow in the discernment of God, insight who He is, won't His work be more completed in you? Won't you impact other people for God? Won't your life become more godly? That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance, a greater understanding of knowing God and reaching others, and more comprehensive discernment. A better understanding of who God is, discerning Him, and probably most importantly, Him in your life. NIV of Philippians 1:9 says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Here is God's work in you, His desire for you, so that you may be able to discern what is best. How many times in your life are you going through a season and you're like, I just need to know what God wants me to do. I need to know what is best for me right now, what is best for my family. I have this thought, I have this plan, but what does God really want? What does God really want? And Paul says, I'm praying that you may be able to discern, to understand what is best, and in the meantime, may be pure and blameless until He returns. Amplifier says, not stumbling, nor causing others to stumble. Walking through your life, not stumbling, not falling, and not causing others to stumble as well. NIV says, that you may be pure and blameless. The New King James says, that you may be sincere and without offense until Jesus returns. That you may be sincere. In ancient Rome, the potters would take their pots and they would hide imperfections in them, in the vessels, by filling them with wax. They would fill them and they would color them and they would do all these things and they would hide their imperfection. The best products were in the Latin tongue, sine sincera, I think is how they pronounce it, sine sincera, meaning it's without wax. In our word sincere is believed by others that believe it comes from that. There's a pureness and a sincerity that God wants for you. It's part of His work in your life. So they would take these pots, and the flaws were hidden with wax and coloring that could be revealed if you held the vessel just right in the sunlight. You could find out what they were hiding. Some say the word can be translated sun-judged. You could hold that vessel up, and when the sun hit it just right, you could see where the imperfections were. One preacher by the name of Bob West wrote this: "What a beautiful illustration of what it means to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. With a little wax and paint, the most inferior vessel can be made to appear perfect on the surface. But its inherent weaknesses will ultimately be found out. Just so, the Christian's character is not to be full of imperfections which are hidden from view by the wax of hypocrisy. His life and character should be sound through and through. He must be sincere. We do such a good job of putting the wax, if you will, over our imperfections, finding ways to hide all the little imperfections. In growing in Christ, you begin to abound in love, developing a greater depth of insight into God's work in you, what's best for you, what's best for your family, and how you're going to reach others as well. And his goal is that you're able to discern what is best for you, his best, his godly choices in your life. So often you go through life wondering what God really wants, and may you feel that you may not hear from God like others do. God's desire is that you know the voice of God in your life, understand the voice of God in your life, and follow the voice of God in your life. The purpose that you may be pure and blameless, not stumbling and not causing others to stumble. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to walk? I know in my life, how about in your life as well, many, before I knew Christ, I caused many people to stumble because I'd be in all kinds of junk and I'd drag them along with me, right? Let's go do this. Let's do that. Oh, you never tried this? Let's try that. And what a wonderful life to live, a life that you are stumbling less and hopefully causing others not to stumble as well. I think it's a walk with God that we all want. And 1 John tells us, if we're going to be like Christ, to walk in the light that Christ walks in. To walk in the light that Christ walks in. Christ is light and truth and love. And it's a far cry from where we were when we first saved. If you realize that Christ walks in light, he walks in love, he walks in truth. When you got saved, when I got saved, we weren't anywhere near that. Hopefully, we're doing better. Hopefully, we're growing. And that's the goal of a follower of Jesus Christ, to shed all the junk of the world that we carry along, the baggage we've added, and start growing more and more like Christ, to walk in his light like he's in the light. It's where he's calling you to. It's his work in your life that takes you there. That his work in your life is to take you closer to him, to walk more in his light. And Scripture says God is love. If God is love, if we are to walk in the light, and then we see it so clearly in the love chapter, if you will, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and following. Love suffers long as it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. It would be wonderful if we could take this prescription of love and put it on our life's resume. We could if we were fulfilling it. If we really fulfilled everything that says in there. Because if you want to know God's work in your life, right there, it's right there. All the Scripture just tells us what he's saying about it. And this, by the way, is on God's resume. And it's his job description concerning you as well. You want to know what God's working on in your life? Study this chapter. Study these verses. Love is. Love suffers long. All of what he's saying, that's what God's doing in your life. And in Paul's prayer originally, there's five prayer requests for you. Increase love and knowledge and judgment. Discern what is best for you and around you. Pure in your thoughts, deeds, and actions. Should we spend a little time on that? Blameless without offense till Christ return, and be filled with the fruits of righteousness. This is God's prayer led by the Holy Spirit, Paul's prayer for God for you in your life. Of course, earlier on I said we should get involved. Perhaps we should help God in his work in our lives. And it starts by being compliant to God and his word. Philippians shows us the beginnings of doing this, that you become a subject of God's grace, you become a partaker of God's grace, you abound more and more in God's love, you discern what is God's best for you, you be pure and blameless, and you be filled with righteousness. Become a subject of God's grace. And when you got saved, you became a subject of God's grace. But God wants you to become more and more aware of his grace and walk in his grace. Paul writes in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until Jesus comes back. He's never given up on you. Ephesians 2 tells us, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You become a subject of God's grace in your salvation. It starts there, but it doesn't stop there. It continues as you grow and as you submit to him. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, to be a partaker of God's grace. We saw in Philippians 1:7, to be partakers of God's grace as his children, as believers in Christ, do not resist his grace in your life. And the reality is, we can resist the Holy Spirit. I mean, Scripture is clear on that. People have always resisted God and resisted the Holy Spirit. You know, Old Testament talks, God talks about the stiff-necked people that were trying to follow God. And we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can resist God's grace. And we can resist God. Not advised. Abound more and more in God's love. Philippians 1:9 says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. And in that love, if you will, in knowledge and in discernment. That you abound in love, grow in love more and more, and then you have knowledge and discernment because of the love of God. You begin to see others and things in your life through God's eyes, through the eyes of love. Walking in Christ, walking in his light, walking in his love, even more so, abounding in love. I mean, I've had days where I thought I was somewhat walking in love. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean that in a proud way. I think we all understand that. We're trying to follow God. We feel like we're involved in things of God. What about abounding in love? Do you abound in God's love? And the word abounding in love in the original language literally means superabundantly. That's the best way we can explain it, abounding. Superabundantly. What a beautiful description. And then discern through God's love and this relationship with him what is best for you. And you need to understand this. You will not discern and will not know what God's best is for you and your life without developing a sensitivity to God, his word, and his voice in your life. You will not discern, you will not know what God's best is for you in your life, around your life, until you develop a sensitivity to God, his word, to the Holy Spirit in his life, his voice in your life. And that, every believer, every follower of Christ is called to do just that. As a child of God, all of this is available to you. Be pure and blameless. We begin to see that this ties everything together. Walking with God, walking in God, you grow in him, and your personal walk and life changes. And the result is, you not only are blessed, but you become a greater blessing to others as well. So as you're walking out your life in Christ, when you stumble, and we all stumble. So when you're walking out and when you stumble, get up. Don't allow the enemy to beat you up. Don't allow the enemy to keep you down. Get up. Get after God. Do not be condemned. Be confident that God is still working in you. Because the Scripture does not say that he began a good work in you and will complete it until you stumble and fall and he gives up on you. It doesn't say that. Because he'd have given up on all of us a long time ago, right? He who began a good work in you will complete it until Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, we're going to be caught up in the air with him and we'll be good. Amen? Do not be condemned. Be confident that God is still working in your life, has not given up on you. He is continuing his good work in you according to his word. Be filled with righteousness. New Living Testament puts it this way. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Man, sign me up. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure, blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. God is truly at work in you. He is a workman, the workmanship of the hand of God. No man can be a workman for God until he's a workmanship of God. We want to be workmen for God. We want to do things for God. No man can be a workman for God until he is the workmanship of God. It doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean perfect. It means following on, moving on. Let's look again at Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Don't give up on me. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Be a continuing work of God. A just, repair, move on, but keep moving forward in the things of God. God will always call you upward. He'll always call you forward. He'll always call you to greater things, a deeper in relationship. We are the ones that determine how close we're going to get to God. We are the ones that determine how much time we spend with God. We are the ones that determine how much of God we want in our life. Because he's not holding back. He's got everything we want, and it's there just as we go to meet him and be with him. Invite the worship team to come forward. We need to be reminded that God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and hopefully everything in between. Hebrews 12 tells us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the Greek word for author means the beginner, the leader, the finisher, the craftsman, the completion, and perfection. You know, I spend a lot of time in the trades, and I've often said, anybody can be a craftsman in your work. You hear craftsman, you usually typically think of a work where, I don't care what you do in your life, you can be a craftsman. If you're an accountant, you can just be an accountant, but you can be a craftsman the best at it. If you're a painter, if you're an electrician, if you're a carpenter, whatever it may be, there's somebody that's a craftsman. So a craftsman just works on that thing until it's just right. Just a carpenter might cut a piece of wood and say it's good enough, but a craftsman say, I'm going to work on this thing until it's good enough. I will do it over if I have to. And God, the workmanship of God is perfecting you. His craftsmanship goes above beyond anything you could ever imagine. Consider God's love and desire for you. He's molding you, shaping you with the skill in the heart of a divine craftsman. All with care and love for you, excited about your purpose in him. He who began a good work on you will carry it through to completion. He helps you to walk in the light as he in the light. Let's walk in the light. Let's walk in God's light. And let's stand together and worship God this morning.